May the words of my lips and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. That's how our gospel reading begins today. That's all the backstory we get on this character at the time. It's all that we need to know. Nicodemus is a Pharisee, a Jewish religious leader, who is concerned with the keeping of the law, with following the commandments, and not just the Ten Commandments, all of the many hundreds of commandments in all of Jewish law and tradition, and in instructing others in how to do the same. Nicodemus is a Pharisee, a Jewish religious leader who is often set up as Jesus' opposition, at least by the writers of our Gospels. Nicodemus is a Pharisee, a Jewish religious leader who is esteemed and well-respected among the Jewish people of Jerusalem and all the surrounding country. And this religious man, this leader, this well-educated and well-respected elite person comes to see Jesus, a lowly carpenter, an uneducated peasant, an itinerant teacher from the backwoods of a small town in Galilee. We might not get that contrast upon an initial reading because to us, hey, it's Jesus, the Son of God. But the irony should not be lost. There is a great contrast between these two characters. It is an unusual situation. Nicodemus comes to Jesus at night and in secret. As I talked about with the kids, he doesn't want anyone to know that he's there. He doesn't want his fellow Pharisees to know that he's come to see Jesus. He's worried about what they will think of him, consulting with this poor hick from Galilee. Yet something about Jesus has still sparked his imagination, his curiosity. It's ignited something deep within him. Nicodemus comes at night because he is anxious about the questions that he has to ask. Rabbi, he begins, acknowledging Jesus' authority as a teacher. Rabbi, we know you are from God because no one could perform the healings and miracles you do apart from God. You're right, Jesus says, and no one can even recognize the kingdom of God without being born from above, without being born once again. And now, Nicodemus, the great leader, that highly intelligent and educated fellow, he is confused. How can one be born from above, Jesus? How can one be born again after one has already grown up? That's ridiculous. Can one get back into their mother's womb a second time and be born a second time? Nicodemus's question is a question of logistics. He doesn't totally understand the otherworldly speak of Jesus here. But we would be mistaken to think that Nicodemus's question is only a question of logistics. At the root of his confusion is something much, much deeper. Nicodemus has experienced the presence of God through the signs and miracles of Jesus. He has seen God at work in the community of Jesus and his disciples. Something inside him has been lighted, the spark of faith. But with all of Jesus' talk about being born again and his questioning of the religious leaders, Nicodemus is left to wonder, is this for me? Is this for me too? I'm not sure how to be born again, Jesus. I don't know what it means. Can I still be a part of this? This movement that you and your followers have started, is it for the people I know, too? Is it for us Pharisees that you critique so openly? I have seen. I believe. But I don't know if I'm in or if I'm out. How can I be born again? How can these things be? Nicodemus asks. Like Nicodemus, we too might come to Jesus at night, wide awake with questions of our own. Perhaps we, like Nicodemus, are lifelong people of faith dedicated to the service of God, to keeping God's commandments, to obedience to our religion. We were born once, maybe even born again in the waters of baptism. But when we hear some of Jesus' teaching, we wonder, is this for me? Can I be a part of this too, Jesus? Jesus, your teaching is confusing or difficult, or it contradicts what I've been taught throughout my life of faith. Can I still be a part of this, Rabbi? Or perhaps the questions that wake us up at night are not just for ourselves. Perhaps they are questions for our loved ones or for people we know. My loved one hasn't been born again in the waters of baptism. Is this still for them? My loved one spends a lot more time considering those earthly things than heavenly things. Are they in or are they out, Jesus? Or perhaps our questions run even deeper. Perhaps they're at an even different level. Is this for my enemy? Is this for the people who have hurt and harmed, rejected me? Is this for those who have rejected my faith or my church? Is this for those whose worldview is so different from my own that I can't even speak to them about my religious beliefs? Nicodemus's questions are not just about the logistics of being born again. They are not just the confused ramblings of a poor guy who's taken Jesus' figurative speech too literally. They are real questions about real concerns, questions about life and death, who's in and who's out, who will see this kingdom of God, and how those who feel on the outside can possibly hope to glimpse it. The answer that Jesus gives Nicodemus is our answer too. Quite simply, it is yes. Yes. Yes, Nicodemus. God so loved the world that God gave his only Son, so that everyone who has faith in that Son may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Jesus' explanations in this gospel story and throughout the Gospel of John, just wait to see what we're in for in these weeks to come. These explanations might be pretty obscure, pretty confusing, pretty otherworldly. But we shouldn't let that distract us from what is at the center, from what Martin Luther called the gospel in a nutshell. We might be tempted to think when we hear the words of John 3:16 that Jesus is establishing who is in and who is out. Those who believe are in, those who don't believe are out. But when we read that very next sentence, John 3:17, it further explains and clarifies and affirms what God's mission really is in sending Jesus. Belief is not supposed to determine who's in and who's out. Nothing does, because God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, to set a measure by which everyone would be judged in or out. God did not send the Son for condemnation or fear or separation, but only for life, for loving, for saving. The gospel writer here uses words that are supposed to communicate that it's not just the Jewish world Jesus has come to save. It's not just his family, his friends, or his followers. The word is cosmos. Cosmos, which means not only the whole world, but all of creation. Every living, breathing, or created thing, the cosmos. Jesus' mission is expansive, not exclusive. He didn't come for some, but for all. And it might help us further illuminate this teaching in the darkness of night when we realize that throughout the rest of the Gospel of John, throughout the rest of Jesus' life story, the word cosmos will be used to refer to a world that is hostile to God. The world that wants to arrest Jesus. The world that wants to imprison Jesus. The world that hates and despises his teaching. The world that ultimately puts him to death on a cross. Yes, when Jesus says he has been sent to the world, that God would save the world through him, he is talking specifically and especially about the world that would reject, abuse, and kill him. Jesus came not just for those who follow him, not just for those who get it, not even just for those who want to get it, like Nicodemus, but Jesus comes for those who don't ever want to get it too. In short, yes, this is for you. This is for them. Yes, it is for our friends and our family, our neighbors and our enemies. Yes, it is for all the world. But there are always people who will question that. There are always people who will hear Jesus' message and assume that it's not for them. Who will see a church and assume that they're not welcome there. Who will hear Jesus' name and only be able to respond with anger or hatred. But Jesus came for them too, maybe especially for them. And knowing the good news, we know, knowing that Jesus came for love for us, we are to carry that good news to those people too. We have been blessed, as Abraham was in our Genesis reading, to be a blessing to others. We have been loved so that we might love. To people in our community, we are to share the message. To people in our community who might assume there's no place for them in Christianity because they're gay. To people in our community who might assume there is no place for them in the church because they are addicts or abusers, or they've spent time in prison. To people in our community who might assume there's no place for them at St. Stephen's because they're not Christian, or not Lutheran, or not of German descent, or they don't speak English. It is our calling, as the people who have been born of water and spirit, as people who have been born again to bring the good news of God's love for all the world in Jesus, to each and every person like Nicodemus who might wonder if there is a place for them. So who might you invite into that love this week? Who might you invite? Who might you reach who finds a place among us here? How might our church's continuing renewal come to reach farther and wider to welcome all as Jesus came to do? Might we take those questions quite seriously today and each day? It is a challenge that we will need to face fiercely if we want to continue to live as God's people in the world. And if we want to continue to live as God's people here on the corner of 4th Street and Broadway in Hicksville. May we come to meet that challenge in the light of day, so that those who must come at night like Nicodemus can find a place where they belong. Thanks be to God. Amen.